The tax filing deadline has been pushed back to May 17th. Thanks, Tax Man.
I'm the Tax Man. Yeah, I'm the Tax Man.
Today, we're joined by Don Hummer and Isabel Dominguez from the Community Action Agency to talk about the program that helps area residents file their returns each and every year. We'll also talk about the ways the Community Action Agency has been able to aid area residents over the course of the last year since the pandemic began. They'll join us next and answer your questions on Voice of the Public. 575-646-2212. We'll start right after NPR News on KRWG Public Media.
I'm the Tax Man. Yeah.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Voice of the Public on KRWG Public Media. It's 106. This is KC Counts, and today I am joined by the CEO of Community Action Agency, Don Hummer, and the Director of Family Empowerment, Isabel Dominguez. Let's begin by just saying hello to the both of you. Don, how have you been?
Been doing okay. Good afternoon, Casey. Thank you for having us.
Hi, Isabel. Welcome to KRWG's Voice of the Public.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
First of all, just kind of a scope of what we're going to be doing over the next hour. Tax time is here. And in case you haven't heard, you might be pleased to know that the deadline for filing your return has actually been pushed back a little bit. So while we were anticipating April 15th as this year's deadline, it got moved to May 17th. So a little bit of good news there. And if you have a question for Don or Isabel today regarding the Community Action Agency and the services they provide, 575-646-2212 is the telephone number to call. If you're watching along on Facebook, we've got everybody on Zoom today. So hello, and thank you for joining us on Facebook. And if you are comfortable asking a question or leaving a comment there, you're more than welcome to do so. Thanks to everyone who is streaming KRWG from anywhere in the world at krwg.org. We're glad to have you along. So Isabel, I'd like to begin with you and just give us a little bit about the scope of the work that you do as Director of Family Empowerment for the Community Action Agency.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you again for inviting me. And yes, I am the director for the Family Empowerment Program. And under that program, under that umbrella, we have other programs. We have the Tax Preparation Program. We have the financial literacy program, which the financial literacy program is we provide financial education in the community. Typically, we will partner with other agencies that have a captive audience for us, and we will either go to their agency or in normal times. During COVID, it's been through Zoom, but we will provide a financial education class, and it could be anywhere from budgeting, learning about credit, just several different financial education classes. We do have the Individual Development Account Program, which is a match savings program. And so that program is it's an 8-to-1 match currently. So our clients will save $500 and we will match that $500 by $4,000. So that money will be used towards an asset, and the assets right now that we are offering are either for business, either a startup business or an existing business. It could be for home ownership if they are first-time home buyers, or it could be for secondary education.
Wow.
And we also do offer the business development, helping our small businesses and
That's so that incredible. How would someone qualify for that particular program?
For the IDA program, there is an income limit. It is 200% of the poverty level. So say, for instance, a family of four cannot earn over $53,000 a year. And that is household income. And then they cannot have assets over, or their net worth cannot be over $10,000.
Do you have any idea at this point, Isabel, how many people have actually been able to take advantage of this program, and where does the funding come from?
The funding, so our current grant is funded through the state right now. And right now I have 20 active IDAs. As of today, I don't have an exact amount of how many people we have actually served. I believe it's anywhere between 93 to 96.
Do you have any idea about how much room there is and how many more at this point you can take? That's an incredible opportunity.
Yes, it is. So there is a waiting list right now. So I have about 65 people on my waiting list. And of course, it is dependent on funding. I am happy to put anybody on the waiting list at any time. Yeah.
All right. And we have a caller on the line holding with a question. So let me bring Gerald on the air on Voice of the Public. Good afternoon, Gerald. How are you?
Pretty good. I was just calling in to say I have their taxes done by the CAA. Then the first day I called in, and then I had a prompt appointment, and I got my refund in less than 2 weeks.
How about
and
that?
It's a great program because it totally eliminates stress. You just walk in with your information, they do it, and it's just a great, great service.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you for taking the time to call and share your experience, Gerald.
Okay,
yes, thank you.
Thank you, Gerald. Very kind of you to say.
Yeah. You know, let's talk a little bit about the tax program itself. Dawn, I know you mentioned that, things have not necessarily looked the same this year as they would in years past. Tell us about that.
Correct. So we've been doing our free tax preparation for, goodness, decades now. And under normal circumstances, we have this incredible partnership with AARP where the retired professionals volunteer to help us prepare the tax returns every single year. And under normal circumstances, we serve 5,000 people through that program. And unfortunately, because this year is different and due to the pandemic, and also we want to keep our volunteers as safe as possible, we are only doing our free tax preparation by appointment only. And so we take appointments about once every 2 weeks, and they fill up very, very quickly. We're hoping to be able to serve 1,000 people this year. Fingers crossed, that's where we're going to get to. But obviously, that's a significant reduction from 5,000 that we do every year.
And Isabel, I realize that we left off with the three programs that you described, the tax program, the financial literacy program, and the individual development account program. But we may not have covered everything yet that falls under the umbrella of your department. So I wanted to be sure to give you an opportunity if there were other programs under your purview that you had a chance to tell us about those.
Oh, yeah. And we do also offer business development. And we do offer workforce development. And typically those will be classes also in the community for those particular. And for the business development, we will help our IDA clients that are interested in either opening a business or have an existing business. We just give them the resources to kind of help them through.
Isabel, at this point, back to the tax program, just a question popped in my mind. Have you been able, do you still have room for anyone else who is trying to gather their documents and get things ready? Would you encourage that they call the Community Action Agency to try to get an appointment at this time, or what would you advise?
I do. So we are actually taking appointments today. So we are taking calls today and we're scheduling 2 weeks in advance. So as soon as those 2 weeks are filled up, then we will stop taking appointments.
Was there a big?
We are hoping to extend, since the IRS did extend the deadline. We are hoping to extend our deadline as well, possibly another 2 weeks, but that's still tentative. So we're working on that, and we will absolutely, you know, put the word out if we do decide to go ahead and extend it for another 2 weeks.
And I know a lot of people will be asking probably out loud at the radio, well, what number do I call?
Oh, yes. The number to call is the 575-527-8799. And it is extension 125. Don't get discouraged if you don't get someone, you know, on the line. It is first come, first serve. So we're answering the calls as fast as we possibly can, and trying to schedule as fast as we possibly can.
And Dawn, we've been talking about the 1,000 people that Community Action Agency hopes to serve at tax time. Would that be 1,000 people across all of the counties that you serve?
We only do our free tax preparation program in Doniana County.
Okay, I see. But Community Action Agency is present in multiple counties. Let's talk a little bit about the scope of what CAA does across southern New Mexico.
Yeah, so we serve primarily five counties in southern New Mexico: Hidalgo, Grant, Luna, Sierra, and Doniana County. We do provide services to all of southern New Mexico. A variety of services cover some of the other counties. And right now we've been really focused on our emergency assistance. So we're still doing all of our other programs in terms of our child and adult food care program, our home visiting program, our Kids Can Youth Entrepreneurship Program, which is one of my favorites. We're still doing all of those programs, even during sort of this pseudo shutdown. And but we've been really focused on our emergency assistance and trying to get help into the families.
I'd like to kind of go back a year ago, because that's you and I spoke, and things were just unfolding so quickly. And we actually talked then about trying to find an opportunity to have you come on here at KRWG and talk a little bit about what you expected. And I think at the time, you honestly really didn't know what to expect. And so let's talk about what has happened since then in terms of what kind of maybe unexpected funding that has come your way, and how that's been able to allow the Community Action Agency to help folks through the pandemic.
Yeah, it was a year ago. It doesn't feel like it. Sometimes it feels like 10 years. Other times it feels like a month ago that we had originally started, you know, this process back in March of 2020. But things have been good. I try to be very, very optimistic. And you know, I have to say that we have made a lot of changes operationally. We've done a lot of things that we were kind of forced to do. And in my mind, that's just reduced barriers for families to be able to access our services. So I'm grateful for that. And there's a lot of things we're going to continue to do even after everything is, you know, back to normal. One of the unexpected funding sources that we did receive, and I can't even tell you how much I love our communities. New Mexico is amazing, but when you look at Doniana County and the city of Las Cruces and some of the other counties that we serve, the response has been absolutely incredible. Not only have we received donations from individuals, even people that want to, you know, hey, I didn't need my stimulus check, I want to donate that to a nonprofit. We have been so grateful to receive some of that funding, and we've made sure that that has gone to families and helped with emergency assistance. But the other funding that was unexpected was funding that we had received from the city of Las Cruces. The mayor pro tem, the city councilors, they have been on it. They have been so responsive and just moving money to the nonprofits to help families so quickly and efficiently. It was unexpected, I guess, in a way, but I wasn't surprised, because we do have such a caring community and caring elected officials here. But one of the funding sources that we do have right now, so we do have city funding that can help with emergency assistance in terms of rents and utilities, but we also had requested money for funeral assistance. And so we do have some money available to help with families who have lost family members due to COVID.
Oh boy. That's, I was going to ask in terms of, you know, Yeah, in terms of what kind of the things that you maybe didn't necessarily expect. And, you know, what has been the biggest struggle for folks from your point of view in our community along the course of this year?
The list is long. The list is long, but we're also resilient. And but, you know, I think obviously there's so many things that all of us have experienced, no matter, you know, no matter what our situation, that social isolation has been very, very difficult. You know, the switch in the way that kids were going to school and having, you know, kids home full time and parents losing jobs, hours being reduced, trying to navigate systems that they've never had to navigate before. You know, how many times some of our families that have never, ever applied for unemployment, were not familiar with that system at all, and trying to learn how to navigate those systems. And so there's been a lot of struggles in those areas. I do think that we've been responsive though. And so I do keep kind of coming back to that and just wanting to stay positive that I think not only has the federal government, it's taken a little time, you know, in some cases to be responsive to some of the needs but we're moving forward a little bit there. But I think the state has been extremely responsive. I think that local governments and municipalities have been responsive, and the nonprofits have just blown me away with how amazing not only my staff and my team, you know, I have to definitely give props to them, but also to the partner organizations that we work so closely with. Their response has been just extraordinary.
Isabel, I'd like to get back to the tax program briefly. Tell us who qualifies to have their taxes done through Community Action Agency.
Well, we typically will take anybody. We don't have any guidelines. Right now, we are limiting the taxes that we are preparing to just simple W-2s or simple 1099s, you know, for Social Security. But yeah, basically, we don't have any income limitations for the taxes.
No age requirements?
And no age requirements. No.
All right, then. That is good to know. And that number again, by the way, in case you missed it, 527-8799, extension 125 for the Community Action Agency's tax preparation program. What do folks need to gather up and bring with them when they come to see you, Isabel?
We will ask that they bring, you know, their Social Security card, for anyone that's on the tax preparation, their IDs, and of course they will have to bring their you know, their forms, whether it's a W-2 or 1099, and then they will, if they wish to receive direct deposit, have their banking account number and routing number available with them as well.
Can you speak to how the situation with so many folks having to turn to unemployment is kind of changing the tax picture for people?
How it's changing the tax picture? We are taking in clients that have received unemployment. I guess I'm not understanding the question.
Well, I don't know if I do either, Isabel. No. I guess what I was wondering is, will there be a tax implication when someone receives unemployment in the state of New Mexico? Are the taxes withdrawn from that, or is that something that they have to come in and deal with on the backside?
I think that there was just a... honestly, I can't answer that question for you right now. I would probably have to turn to one of our tax volunteers to have that question answered.
Sure.
For you.
Well, and that reminds me that that if you have, you know, a very complicated tax picture, you probably know that, and you probably have someone who helps you with your taxes each
right.
and every year. But so basic questions about the Community Action Agency program, certainly welcome here today. And you can call 646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. 12 to ask questions of Isabel or Don here with us today from the Community Action Agency of Southern New Mexico. Don, you mentioned, and just wanted to give folks a picture of and I don't know if I remembered the name of the program properly, but the youth entrepreneurship program that you have. Tell us more about that.
Kids Can. It's our youth entrepreneur program, and we call it Kids Can. And prior to the shutdown, we had 20 youth-owned businesses that were selling products at the farmers market, and we have had such a wonderful response to that program. The founder and director, April Christensen, had come to me a few years ago with this program that she had been doing, working with youth to teach them how to be entrepreneurs. And I fell in love with the idea. And so we adopted the program. We've been growing the program. We had just gotten funding for out of school training and activities and workshops and stuff for the kids. And then we were shut down within 30 days, 45 days after we started recruiting and getting that program up and running. And I have to say, again, just being so proud of my team, is that they continued that program. We connected with the kids. We've been doing classes on Zoom. We do videos and recordings. The kids are still doing interviews with other businesses and learning about that. We've opened up to where they can sell things through their Facebook page. So it's Kids Can. You can find them, Kids Can of Doniana County, through Facebook. And so there's opportunities to engage with the kids and support their businesses. That program serves kids that are between as young as 5 all the way up till 17 years old. And again, I can't even talk enough about this program, the development that these children and young adults, these youth, receive in terms of leadership development and entrepreneurship, business, you know, all types of business concepts, including marketing and budgeting. It has been amazing.
Well, and when you think about it, going through a program like this as a kid, boy, you'd be unstoppable. Later on in life, when you've already learned how to pivot a business through a pandemic, that's just going to be an amazing skill for them to carry forward, no doubt. And I'd like to get to a caller who's on the line with a question. Good afternoon. You are on Voice of the Public. How are you?
Is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Oh, cool. All right. Yes. All this is really interesting and everything, and I'm very grateful to that program because they've done my taxes for the last 2 years, and it's been actually a pleasant experience. However, nobody answers the phone over there, and I have called at all times of day and night, and I have let it ring hundreds of times, and I finally get through, and I have a lady who says, don't come to the office, don't do this, don't do that, we won't call you, we're making appointments, we're not making appointments. And what I want to know is, for reals, guys, how can I get my taxes done?
Thank you for the question, and I apologize. Our phone, we have times where callers are calling so much that they have shut our phone systems down, and we've had to call in and have people come in and, you know, do the technical things they do behind the scenes. So I absolutely do apologize for that. But unfortunately, as Isabel mentioned, so give a call today to see if you can get an appointment. She did say that we are taking appointments today, but unfortunately, taking appointments once every 2 weeks. So once we open up that time slot to take appointments, it's open for a short window, and then it closes until the next 2 weeks. And the only way that we could manage it with the massive amount of calls that we were receiving was to do it on a first come, first serve basis. So when the time window opens, that's when you're able to call and make an appointment. And, unfortunately, 80% of our past clients are not going to be able to get an appointment appointment this year, and it's, we're heartbroken over that, and we apologize because we do know that it is an inconvenience, and we pride ourselves on our customer service in this program, but unfortunately this is the way it's going to be. So please try to call again today if you want to try again in 2 weeks. But once that window closes for the appointments, we don't take calls or messages or anything during that 2 week time frame. And I do apologize for that, but just logistically, it would just be overwhelming for us and our team.
Well, that's very sad.
Hang
on just
you
a second.
You are not taking appointments today. I just called and they said, we are not taking appointments today. We're not taking appointments until the 18th.
The message on the machine was the old message. I'm not able to change it until the end of the day, when the calls stop coming in because our lines are so tied up. I can't even get on the line to change the message.
Okay, so you're not.
But we are taking appointments today.
No, you're not.
And so
no,
someone is
I
at the
called.
Phone trying to answer as fast as we possibly can.
Okay, hang on.
Okay, but wait. You are not taking calls today. I just called. They said they were not taking appointments until the 18th. So if you can't take appointments until the end of the day, you're not taking appointments today. And making people call and hang on the line and hang on the line and hang on the line makes them very cross, like I am right now. And
yes.
I'm sorry about it because you've helped me several times. But, you know, look at this. Okay, here's the teacher coming out. Look at this as a challenge. What could you do to make people not have to call and stay on hold for hours and days and months and years, only to tell them, don't come in, don't call, don't do this, don't do that? What could you do to fix that? Now, I'm going to have to pay, I guess, to get my taxes done this year, and that's a big heartache for me, but especially since I know you're on the radio trying to drum up more business that you can't help.
Well,
it's just very frustrating.
Is there another way to know? And thank you so much for calling. I mean, obviously, you're not alone in having that experience, but is there any way to know when those windows are coming?
So we do post on Facebook every time the windows, you know, have closed and when we will start taking appointments again. And, you know, unfortunately, like she said, I believe she's listening to the message because the calls are being answered as fast as we possibly can. And because we only have the one phone line, it does tie up our phone. You know, does tie up the lines. And so they do have to wait. And in order to be fair, I have to do it on a first come, first serve basis. I just can't guarantee we've had several clients that have done their taxes with us for years. And it does mm-hmm. break our hearts that we can't, you know, accommodate everybody.
Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead, Don. Sorry.
Oh, and I just wanted to add that we feel the caller's frustration as well. And we have looked at this as a challenge. It has been, you know, and how we can improve it and how we can get better. And I do want to be clear, like we're on today to actually talk about the reason why we have had to reduce our numbers and kind of what the process is looking like now, just because we want to get that information. We're not trying to drum up business for the appointments because we
right.
have that already. Yeah, that word of mouth has already spread. So we just want to kind of at least let the public understand that this is the reason why the phones are busy. This is the reason why we're only able to take a certain amount of appointments. But I do want to mention also to the caller and to anyone else who's listening, we have been referring people because we don't want you to have to pay for your tax preparation. And so we have been referring people. There's a website that is hosted and run by the United Way called myfreetaxes.com. And we've been encouraging people to use that website. It's a very user-friendly. It will walk you through the process. It's a free website, so you don't have to pay. It's from a trusted organization, the United Way. We've used it in the past. And for those folks that might not have access to the technology or don't feel comfortable doing it on their own, we're encouraging they work with family or friends to help them kind of navigate that process. But please know that we do share your frustration as well. And I wish I could fix it for everyone, but we're just very limited in what we're able to do.
And to your knowledge, is there there's no other organization, you know, locally that would provide a similar service?
I don't know of any other free tax preparation program here in, you know, in our area. Also, I just wanted to give an idea of, you know, how many we, in a normal tax year, we would normally serve between 75 to 100 people a day. And now we have downsized to 15 to 20 people a day. So just to give you an idea of how much we have cut back and why we're not able to take each and every single call.
And I mean, you mentioned earlier, Dawn, that, you know, these cutbacks are obviously related to keeping people distant and keeping those volunteers safe as well, because you have, you said, retired tax professionals who are coming in, and hopefully they're all getting their vaccines. But it sounds like, you know, a similar frustration that people are having when they're trying to get signed up for their vaccines, right? It's just, there's so much.
I made a joke. I said, you know, next to getting a vaccine appointment, the tax appointment is the next hottest thing here in our area. It's awful for us. And like I had mentioned at the beginning of the show, the reason we're able to do a free tax preparation program is because of the volunteers from AARP that come and assist us. And unfortunately, that they're retired professionals, and that just happens to fall in that higher risk category for COVID. And so normally we would have 40 to 50 volunteers. We have 10. And so it's been really challenging. You know, we had made a decision, though. Isabel and the team and all of us had talked and said, what do we do, guys? You know, should we even do it this year? Should we not? And my team, I was so proud of them. They said, we want to do it. We know that it's not going to be at the level that we normally do. We're not going to be able to serve as many people. But you know what? Even if we can only serve 500, 500 is better than zero. And I'm proud to say that we are going to try to get up to 1,000, which would still be 20% of what we normally do.
Yeah. What did the program look like last year? So all of this was brand new. What were you able to do last year?
So last year, I think we still were able to, because what happened, we were right in the middle of our free tax preparation season when the pandemic hit. And that was the only program that we had to shut down completely. Everything else was still up and running, but the people came right to our door. We have people that line up. It's still a first come, first serve, you know, but you stand in line, you know, we don't make appointments or anything like that. So we would have hundreds of people going through our building within the day. Obviously, that's not ideal during a pandemic. And so we did have to shut that program down. But I think we were still able to do 2,000.
About 2,000, yes.
About 2,000, we served about 2,000 people during that time. And yes, unfortunately, that was the one program that we did have to shut down. But we were able to still do it for about 6 weeks prior to that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, again, we kind of reconvened at the end of last year and said, what do we want to do? What do we want this to look like? We're hoping we'll be back to normal next year. But again, we do apologize for any inconvenience. We do understand.
We also got a much longer extension on the due date to what I think it was July last year. So there was a lot more time to work with in there and have people come in smaller numbers. We had a question coming in off air, which was, do you accept someone with an income of $37,000 a year, but with two brokerage accounts?
We are not doing brokerage accounts this year, unfortunately.
And would you tell everyone?
We are only doing simple returns only because the service that we're providing is a drop-off service. And so they will step into the office for their intake and receiving their documents. And so we don't really have the, you know, we won't keep them in the office in case there's any questions. So we're trying to limit the amount of time that the client is in the office.
I see. And what for those of us who have not taken your financial literacy program, what exactly is a brokerage account?
A broker. honestly, I really don't know. I would have to ask one of our tax preparation people.
That is funny, isn't it? I know going into this because I used to do my taxes years and years ago. And then at some point I got so frustrated and I said, I've got to be doing something wrong. Well, sure, I was doing lots of things wrong. And so ever since then, it feels so nice. It really does. And I can relate to the callers who have said, you know, how this helps their tax preparation time be so stress-free, because when you can just take the papers to someone else and let them sort it all out, it sure does take a lot of the burden and eases a lot of stress along the way. So
right.
I can certainly understand.
And that's my understanding, because I'm not the professional either. My understanding is that usually those accounts are what hold your assets.
So my IRA or my 401k.
Just different types of securities and funds. So it's not necessarily going to be your retirement accounts or anything like that.
Okay, gotcha.
It's just a little bit different. Yeah, it's not your mutual account or, you know, or anything like that.
Not those. It's other assets that I'll never have, most likely. All right. At 1:41, my gosh, I can't believe how fast this hour is flying by. 575-646-2212 is the telephone number to call. 575-646-2212. And Don, I can't let the hour get by without asking about one of the CAA programs that's near and dear to my heart, and that's Coats for Kids. And you had opened up a lot of space there on the campus of Community Action Agency to house those coats. How did the program do in 2020 and 2021?
So we were able to still pull it off. I don't know how we do it sometimes. yes, that's where I met Casey. Gosh, 10 years ago, I think, was when I first started working with CAA. And through our partnership, I met Casey, but I also met Karen Bailey from U.S. Bank, and we work with Comet Cleaners and D2 Design. And it's one of my favorite partnerships. And so every year we take monetary donations or gently used coats, and we're able to distribute about 3,000 coats to children within Doniana County. And this year was a little different. Well, actually it was towards the end of last year, because we distributed in November, but at least what's happened in the past year has been a little bit different. And we're still able 1,000 coats. So we did do a little bit less. We had some wonderful community members that had given us donations. That's primarily a donation driven program for us to be able to purchase the coats. And we always try to find the best privacy for children. And so donations were down a little bit, only and not due to the generosity of the people within our community. I think it's just because there were so many different nonprofits and different organizations that needed donations at that time. But we were still able to raise enough money and still be able to register and purchase 2,000 coats. And normally we work with the different folks within the schools, right at the actual schools at Hatch, Gadsden, as well as Las Cruces school districts. And that the end of last year, the kids weren't there. It was just a little bit more difficult. We were still able to make arrangements with parents to get the clothes delivered and still worked with the schools to do it. So I'm pretty impressed 2000, and I look forward to this next year.
Well, and
being different and back up to 3,000 where it belongs.
Yeah, and you mentioned Karen Bailey. And so here's just an individual, you know, who has run this program. She is the constant for 25 years in this community. And I know that the pandemic, you know, upended her world because all of a sudden businesses were closed and were applying for federal aid and loans and funding. And she was managing a lot of those programs. And so, I mean, amidst all of that, has maintained her commitment to this program. So I say that now because here we are about to see spring arrive on early Saturday morning. Tomorrow morning at 3:37 is when spring officially begins. And so you might be doing your spring cleaning this weekend. And as you're going through and maybe pulling out those coats from your kids' closet, the one that they grew out of already this winter or last winter that maybe you still have, please consider taking those gently used coats over to the Community Action Agency. Are they able to bring coats to you, Dawn?
Comet Cleaners. So we have our donations dropped off at, with Comet Cleaners. Any of your Comet Cleaner locations, we'll take a coat donation, and we truly do appreciate that. And Dan has been an amazing partner for this program as well. They dry clean the coats. They do, if there's little tiny minor, you know, replace a button or something, we do want gently used coats. My coats as a kid never would have been able to be donated because I was hard on them. But if a button needs to replace the zipper, he'll help with that. So we do appreciate any donations. And then we always, year round, we're always accepting monetary donations for that program as well.
I would say my coats were always donated because they were always left on the playground or left behind somewhere.
I lost a few in my time as well.
Yeah, 146 at KRWG. You're listening to Voice of the Public. The tax deadline has been pushed back from April 15th to May 17th. And today, the Community Action Agency is accepting appointments for their tax program. We understand, and if you're just joining us, we'll reiterate that more people are calling than the phone line can handle. So, you know, prepare to just go in with a lot of patience. Do your deep breathing that Raquel Garcon taught us to do, the 4-second in, hold it for 7, exhale for 8, and it'll help you relax and get through the process. But they're taking just as many appointments in this window as they possibly can. And if you have questions for us on any of the programs offered by the Community Action Agency that we've touched on, please call within the next few minutes. 575-646 2212 is the telephone number to call. And I wanted to get back to Isabel, a couple of the programs you mentioned. First of all, the financial literacy program. And I think that it's just a common theme that we hear that, you know, kids aren't necessarily raised up and they don't necessarily learn in school about how to be financially literate. So we can reach adulthood and just not know the basics. And then what do? We end up learning the hard way. So what kind of education do you offer through that program?
For the financial education?
Yes, ma'am.
We do offer just the basic financial education. We offer, you know, budgeting, what is credit, savings. There's a different, we have a few agencies that will request different, classes, and you know, we try to accommodate and provide the classes that they're asking for.
You know, what kind of need do you see in the community for this type of basic financial education?
We get a lot of just mostly budgeting is our biggest class that we get requested on, and savings, and just learning, and like I said, learning about credit. So that is our biggest need.
And moving to the business development program, there's a lot of push I'm hearing through the Community Action Agency to really inspire and to support adults and children who are going to be in business for themselves. Tell us a little bit about what the business development program entails.
So the business development, we mostly are working with our IDA clients in the business development. So those that are interested in starting up a business or have an existing business, we will kind of give them resources on navigating them through how to get their business plan done, opening up a business bank account, budgeting for their businesses, and just different classes just to get them started or just to give them a little bit more resources.
And for those who might have just tuned in, you mentioned IDA, and that's the individual development account that we spoke about earlier.
Yes.
What an amazing thing. If you didn't hear that earlier, this is where you can get matching money 8-1 in order to seed your business, right?
Yes, it is. And it is also for secondary education and homeownership if you're a first-time homebuyer. So
that's
any one of those assets, it's a great program. It really is.
Dawn, how is the staff? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
You first.
Oh, just to add a little bit more about the IDA programs, Isabel had mentioned earlier that we do have a waiting list for those. There used to be federal funding available for that program. It's a proven anti-poverty program, and that funding was cut. We are very lucky that the state of New Mexico has dedicated some funds to be able to help fund these programs, but we need more. There is so much that we can do. Usually, when we look back on our research, I think over the years, over the last 10, 15 years, we've probably worked with a total maybe 300 different families that have bought a home, started a business, gone back to school, and the success stories are out of this world. We have over 95% of our families are still in the home that they purchased using those funds. That's unheard of. That's unheard of in just, normal, not receiving CAA type service population. And our businesses are still doing okay. We do need to check in with them after the pandemic, of course, and make sure and do some follow up there. But this is an amazing anti-poverty program that we definitely want support for. We would love federal support for it, more state support for it, but we have to raise the match. So if the state gives me $10,000, I have to raise $10,000 of private donations and other funding to be able to match that money. And then the client has to raise their portion as well. They have to save and match. They have to put in some skin in the game too. So that is just a great program. I just had to do that plug. We don't have a lot of those available, but they work. And so I wish we did have more.
You said federal funding was cut. When did that happen?
That happened, I'm going to say, in the last probably 4 years. It was called the Assets for Independence program, and that was cut, I think, in early 2017, maybe mid-20. I'm going to say 2017, just because I'm not 100% sure, but about that time frame. The unfortunate thing was that program was only funded at a very, very low level. I don't think nationwide that program was funded more than $30 million maybe, and so it was just it was one of those things where it was 30 million is a lot in my book, but obviously in terms of a federal budget it just seemed like something smaller to cut. And but it got us from where we were able to work with several dozen people a year within that program to now, we might get new ones, two or three here or there. And but only $30 million. So it was cut about 2017. And we would love to see it reinstated at some point. And of course, still tap into some state resources and see if we can get more funding through the state.
Yeah, you mentioned that the state had kind of picked up the slack. How was that decision made? Was it something that you had to go and advocate for in Santa Fe, or how did it happen?
Yeah, it was. So one of our partners, Prosperity Works, is an amazing advocate, not only against some of the predatory lending practices, but anything that has to do with family asset development and the IDAs. And they were instrumental in getting that funding and advocating for that funding and pushing for that legislation a few years ago. So it was around the same time, I think, right, Isabel, that the federal dollars were cut. We had been pushing for state dollars for a decade, though. Finally made some movement, thank goodness. Yeah. As we were losing the federal money, we finally made movement.
We received the state money. Yeah.
So here we are.
And so what other avenues does Community Action Agency have for fundraising?
For fundraising, in terms of like just from private donors or specifically for the IDA program?
I would say, anything that might come to mind. Do you have annual efforts that you undertake specifically for fundraising for specific programs, or do you in general kind of take in funds that go, you know, and get spread across the board?
Yeah, it depends. So we always do that push whenever Coats for Kids is occurring. We always do that push, and we ask very specifically for donations for Coats for Kids. We don't ask that for anything else that's going on within the organization. And then when the pandemic started, we did a little bit of a push to get just some individual donors to help with some of the emergency assistance. We did get some funding from, like I said, the city. We've gotten a little bit from other places that we're allowed to use, but it's always nice to have that money that you can help a family with that might not fall under the umbrella of what your funders would like you to spend the money on. And so we did get a little bit of money for that. We're wanting to, we haven't officially launched it, so I'll just talk about it just very briefly today, but we would like to launch a campaign to fund children's savings accounts. And, with the idea of supporting a local child and trying to help them to get, get some financial literacy under their belt, have them, if possible, we can introduce them to some of the youth business training opportunities and things that they can take advantage of. So we would like to do a children's savings account, and we would set it up similar to the IDA. So the idea would be that the children would save money. They would learn how to save money. They would have to save their own money. And then we would match that a little bit throughout the year. And then they can then use the money for something that they saved for. And so that is something that we want to do in the very, very near future.
You know, what a great opportunity, for parents to get some help in teaching their kids these things along the way, and just giving them the such a better start in life once they become adults and get those credit card offers in the mail. Let's get to the phone. And I have to apologize to Paul. He has been holding for a bit while I was trying to communicate here with Jake. Totally my fault. But Paul, are you still with us?
Oh, I'm here.
Hi, thank you so much. And sorry for the wait.
Hey, not a problem. We only have like 3 minutes.
That's correct.
I was a coordinator of the tax aid program for a couple of years. So I just want to hand it to everybody who is still there. I know people are frustrated, but it was a bad year for everybody. We had to quit halfway through the season last year. And now with the space limitations and the number of volunteers, it's just really difficult for people going to be able to get their taxes done. So Isabel mentioned about going to myfreetaxes.com, and that might be a really good way for people to actually get their taxes done this year.
MyFreeTaxes.com, which you said, I believe, is through the United Way. So an excellent place to go and to start. And IRS.gov, from what I'm hearing.
And we miss you, Paul. We miss you, Paul.
I was thinking the same thing, Isabel. We do miss you, Paul. Sorry, Casey, go ahead.
Oh, that's all right, Paul. Thank you so much for checking in. And you are missed.
Well, and just a couple of quick answers. There was somebody, you were asking about the unemployment.
Yes.
So just a real quick answer is that unemployment is generally going to be taxable just like any other income. But the the COVID stimulus package that was just passed that got everybody or most people their $1,400 also says that $10,200 of unemployment for 2020 is not going to be taxable. And I'm not sure because I'm not involved with the tax program this year, but I'm not even sure if it's been determined how the tax aid is going to be able to handle that, because the tax software has to make changes based on what the IRS is going to come up with for their guidance.
Oh, boy.
So that just threw another little cog in the wheel for this year. But
and just to come in on that, they have received their guidance from the IRS, so they are accepting the people that have had the unemployment. So
great.
Okay.
So nobody, I'm sure nobody is sorrier than the folks at Community Action Agency and the folks that run the tax program. It's all volunteer.
Yeah.
And so we really need volunteers. And next year, I mean, with the pandemic, I can imagine that some of the volunteers that we used to have wouldn't be coming back even after this. So just a plug for tax aid. We need volunteers up there.
All right, Paul. Well, thank you so much. And as you said, going in, we only had a couple of minutes left, so we are out of time. But thank you so much, CEO of Community Action Agency, Don Hummer. It was great having you today.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you so much for having us. It was a pleasure spending time with you.
And Director of Family Empowerment, Isabel Dominguez. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you for joining us on Voice of the Public on KRWG Public Media. Coming up next, it's Leora Zeitlin with your intermezzo by request. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And if you are just tuning in and missed the show, you can find it just a little bit later at krwg.org. Have a wonderful weekend.